So when, obviously I worked my whole career to make television shows, and then my middle one was in a ghost show that we had on Travel Channel. After he was done, he was so excited. And it's cool because we did the whole green screen thing with him and we built a set around it. He gets off and he's like, "Is this going to be on YouTube?" And I'm like, "Mother fuck." Here's the thing, because I'm gonna have to edit this bullshit.
I know.
The problem with all of this is, well, there is a part of me that's like, is Eric gonna be upset if I keep this part in? But I can take all my shitty parts out.
That's funny. Like what? Now I'm interested. I wish I was sitting in there for the edits.
No, there's like, well, some of it is. And I think you've said this before that you have to look at the camera. Like you
Yeah.
look around a
I
lot.
do. A lot.
I
100%.
know. I tried cutting to you more in Mac, but when I cut to you'll do this.
It's what I'm thinking about. So I'm trying to pull crap out of my brain that doesn't work so great these days. And every time I try to pull, I'm like, my brain just goes like, yeah, was it,
Do you realize this is our fourth episode and we have over 50,000 views so far?
Ooh, that across both Facebook and
Yeah.
YouTube.
Someone told me who doesn't know you said you seem very charismatic.
It's working. I'm trying. I
I
know. It's
know.
so not me. Carrie said right off the bat. Carrie, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like Rick left a lot of that stuff in. That's fun. You know, like with me just like being more happy. And Carrie goes, it makes you look like the fun one. I was like, I know, it's all it's super weird. That's so not the case.
Go ahead, Mr. Fun One.
You
Tell the world what to
know what I
do.
see? When you were talking, when you went in, you're like, I'm 47 years old. I can't believe I'm saying this, type thing. I was like, well, you know what they say? Smash
Oh, yeah. Make sure you smash the like button. All right, what are some
the
other.
something we thought we would never say in our
Oh my
lifetime.
God. Well, so, all right. So, in all honesty, though, it would help us out if you subscribe, like, rate, anywhere you watch this or anywhere you listen to this, please like and subscribe. And it kills me to my soul to have to say any of that.
Look, so that's been one of my really interesting learnings, right? I've never done anything social media related like this. Like I was, on a little bit of social media here. I don't post a lot. I don't do a lot on social media, but like watching this stuff come in and watching these, we post the episodes and what happens and like reactions and like views, but then not a lot of likes. And it's like, how do we have this many views and not that many likes? Does that mean we suck that bad? You
No,
know,
but
like
do you,
type
but when
thing.
you're watching something, do you like it?
Yeah, for sure.
But just so we're clear, on every video you go and watch, you like it.
If I like it, if I spend the time and it's useful to me or entertaining
Do you
to me,
subscribe?
it depends. As for sure, I do on some of like
God, I
the
don't.
car maintenance thing, like the people that are making content and I, that is valuable. Yeah, absolutely, I'll subscribe.
You smash that like button.
And subscribe the button.
Well, so here's my thing about why it irritates me to say like and subscribe. So when, obviously I worked my whole career to make television shows, and then when I got to the age where I needed actors and stuff, I would let my sons be in one. So one of them, my middle one, was in a ghost show that we had on Travel Channel, and he's like. After he was done, he was so excited. And it's cool because we did the whole green screen thing with him and we built a set around it. So it was kind of a bigger set. So he gets off and he's like, "Is this going to be on YouTube?" And I'm like, "Motherfucker." All right, let's go back to that. We're four episodes in,
Yeah.
over 50,000 views across all of our platforms. It's funny because when I watch this back sometimes, I want that one view. I'll watch it on Facebook and then I'll go and I'll put it on YouTube just to play it. But I don't go to any of the podcasting like Apple or Spotify.
I've only done it once, and that's when I was really interested in the fact that the audio there was different than what was on the our videos.
As many views as we had, which I certainly wasn't expecting. Not that we're like going viral or anything, but certainly more than I thought we would have at this point. Now, it also helped that we had Steve Trevino on episode one.
Of course.
Tim Montana on episode two.
And intentionally.
Max on episode three. Max views are, that was shocking to me.
That's,
I mean,
that's
not
fun.
That not that he's doesn't deserve it or any of that,
yeah.
But it's, he doesn't have the social media following like a Steve Trevino has.
And we haven't done anything properly yet for
nothing properly
on the social media aspect of things of, you know, creating small clips to drive people to the stuff and to the, you know, we haven't, which is all time. Cause this is a fun side gig for us.
But doesn't it feel like we should start taking this a little bit more serious? Like if we just slightly tried,
listen, we are slightly trying. That's why we have content. Sure. We could, you know, do some more, sacrifice some more time.
What are some things that are kind of surprising to you?
The whole ebb and flow, here we go thing that I'm glad you left it in because I think it's fun. Well, as we say in the business, ebb and flow, here we go. I'm glad you left it in because I think it's fun. Has come back at me on numerous occasions, which has been very unexpected. So there were comments. It's been really fun to see like a lot of old friends and, you know, family and stuff like that. People like chiming in, you know, making comments or sending separate personal notes, you know, about things or just making comments. That's been fun and interesting. But the ebb and flow thing created
taking a life out of its own.
Yeah, would create a lot of little fun stuff, but it came back at me like in two different times. One at work and one just when we were up in New York with my brother-in-law, and we were talking about a thing, and he's like, "What's your thing, ebb and flow?" And I was like, "What?" First of all, I didn't even know he watched it or listened to it. Like, second
did he
of
smash
all,
the like button? Smash that like button.
Oh yeah, we should have rhymed it. I didn't need to do a better job.
Hey, I'm in the market for a catchphrase. So if anyone has one that rhymes with smash that like button.
You know what? You reminded me of something. Okay, wait, hold on.
Wait, because there's so much I want to talk about this. Okay, go ahead, Ben.
I know. Leave a record. Just give me a second. Give me 1 second.
All right, I'll take over while Eric's gone. I'll do my vocal exercises. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. I think it's when I get excited, I start talking fast. Wait, I can't see it. Oh, where'd you get that from? Are they hawking those on the streets of New York? No way. Oh my God. All right.
Shout out to Dara Seitzman.
Dara Seitzman. And oh my gosh, wait, turn around. Where did you have that done?
I got one for you, buddy. They just came in yesterday.
Oh my God, I'm there in April.
I'll mail it to you if you want.
No. We have to take a picture of it together and I don't want to forget it. Just leave it at your house.
So
I am blown away. Can you imagine us wearing those down the street?
It's the dumbest thing, and it made me laugh.
It made me laugh so hard when she did that.
And so I played with, so what was funny is she didn't, I reached out to her. I was like, I have to surprise Rick with one of these on the show. And I reached out and she's like, well, I don't really have a high res version and whatever, but she totally like, she's like, but here's like the clip art that I used. And then, I grabbed pictures right about here, you know, whatever. She was like super detailed. It was super great. So I went in and like re-screen grabbed and rebuilt the whole thing so I could submit it. And then I changed it a little bit. Like Carrie hand wrote the
ebb and flow.
Yeah. Carrie hand wrote the ebb and flow. Here we go to be able to go next to it.
That is possibly the greatest thing I've ever seen. I'm trying to think, like, that's up there with the birth of my kids.
And there's our little logo.
Oh, that's look. Why you wanted the logo.
That's right.
Oh, did I give you a high enough res? I could have gave you the, no, it should have been. It should have been vector.
It was fine. I worked on it. It wasn't vector, but it was fine. It works good.
That is awesome. So that's that goes back to the thing that I mean, it's cool to see people we don't know comment on it and see what their thoughts are on us, because I can't even imagine if you don't know us what we come across as. And we haven't really hit our stride, which we'll get to. Red leather, yellow leather.
Mr. Mumbles.
Yeah, because the thing is every time I start to get excited, I have to remind myself, slow down.
Yeah.
Not everything has to happen in 10 seconds.
Yeah, you're good. You're better. You're way better than me about being slower.
But that's the cool thing, that was seeing the people that we know kind of comment. Because I, in all honesty, I didn't think that Darius Seisman would listen to a podcast with you and I, and then not only listen to it, actually contribute. She's the first entry in the Defied Hall of Fame.
So I showed these to Carrie, and she goes, well, you got to create a contest so somebody can win one. I was like, all right, I'm game. I don't know what that means.
This is what I was talking about. Like, if we just slightly tried, could right. we actually build this up to something? But do we really want to do that? Because that's the other thing, too. Did you see some of the bad comments?
Like what?
No, I may have deleted them.
No, that's hilarious. Off YouTube or Facebook or both?
Both. No, I don't think on YouTube. I think it was on Facebook, because I think I only have access to the YouTube. I'm sorry, I only have access to the Facebook.
Facebook. Oh, maybe yeah.
There was probably three that I was like, one that was kind of on the fence, but two that were just like morons, and I was like, well, he's not wrong, but
you just didn't want to put that out there.
We don't need that. Like, it also comes down to, like, I also didn't want, and I probably should have talked first about doing this, but I didn't want, like, our friends going and being like, these people are not morons and stuff, and you know, and then getting into
the wives jumping in to defend us.
Exactly.
Yeah, but there are morons.
It's weird too, because Facebook is a weird thing, because I have a love-hate relationship with it, in the sense that I know a lot about people I don't know anything about, meaning like even someone like Dara. Like, when's the last time we talked to Dara?
Right.
20 years ago?
In person? Yes.
Yet you can go on her Facebook and you know what she's doing in life. And so that when you do see her, you're like, oh yeah, I know you did this, this, and this.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say it's the old people platform at this point.
So speaking of posting online, I got to post a lot about having the number 2 show on Netflix.
Nicely done.
Yeah. Well, that leads us into, you were down here for the premieres.
Yeah, we did reference that in the Steve episode. It was a lot of fun.
It was such a great time.
It was a great time. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. I had a lot of fun. I got de-virginized to Buc-ee's, and not only did I get to go once, I went 4 times in 2 days, which was not enough. Impressive. Apparently.
Let's kind of take it day by day. So day one, you get in and we go to the Rebecca Creek premiere.
Yeah, straight from the airport.
That was your first time actually meeting Steve and getting to sit down and talk with him.
Yeah, for sure.
In all honesty, without, you know, he'll never see this. So what are your thoughts of him?
I think he is, he feels as advertised. So really? He seems like a genuine guy. And all the time I spent around him, I was appreciative of, like, everything he had, you know, doing, everything he was doing, everything he had going on, what he was, you know, hardworking dude.
When we went and just, cause he will not watch his special. So me, you and him went into this other bar area and it was just us, and it wasn't about anything other than family. And that is, and so I like how you said it's as advertised, because it was Steve Trevino. Like, anytime you're around him, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was really interesting. Very, very normal, very down to earth, very realistic, normal conversations, you know, family, kids with baseball and things that, you know, things that he's doing and clearly what's important to him. So it was definitely cool to see, you know, he talked about that at the end of our podcast, saying, like, you know, I think you asked what, you know, what's next, you know, or what do you want to be known for? I forget exactly how you said it, but that, you know, being a good dad, like being a good father, a good family man. he's clearly working on that and doing that. So that's
I know cool. It's so annoying. It's annoying because I feel like that's probably what I should say, but.
But you'd rather be doing this. Look, whatever. We talked about yeah. that. We talked about that in the first episode. that you've always defined yourself by your career. That's why you're successful. So
yeah, because I have to work at this. Being a dad, you don't. Do you really? Are you working? I mean, you're not working towards it.
And feel free to leave some comments for Rick.
Yeah. No, what I've found out is you peel off some money and they're happy.
Wow. Oh, wow. Cut, exactly. We'll have to find a good break point there.
All right. So then night two.
Wait. We can't leave the funniest thing to happen that evening.
Oh. Here's the thing. I don't think it's going to play you and I saying it.
It doesn't matter. We got to talk about it. We laughed our asses off.
I had tears in my eyes. So, but you have to set up Brian is a thing. So Brian Hart yeah. is, so he wrote on Kids in the Hall, Jay Leno, Jamie Kennedy Experiment. He was the head writer of Mad TV, which a huge influential show for me.
So Steve and Captain Evil did a podcast live there as part of the premiere, right? So they came in, they did a podcast, and then kicked off to the premiere. But in between that, because of the relationship, they wanted to also do a whiskey tasting flight, so you could see some of the different offerings and then have the owner of the company talk you through like the different versions and what they were and what that meant, and you know, just start educating, you know, different folks. So we grabbed a couple flights, and Brian came and sat down, and he looked at the flights, and then I was like, you know, which ones you do? And we're like, we did this one, this one. And he looks at me, he goes, which one's the fighting whiskey? And then he goes, and this is the best part, and he goes, and don't fucking lie to me. which was just like brilliant in itself, and then followed it up with such just, brilliance.
The brilliance of it is the guy, the owner, I mean, he was so intelligent about whiskey. He's like, and this has this note and this one. And then just Brian's like, he's just a fighting whiskey. So,
you're right. The juxtaposition between the two. So we were far enough away, just to be clear, we were far enough away from everything being shot and what was happening at the table across the room.
Problem was, it was quiet.
Yeah.
And he says it and we die laughing.
That was night number one.
That was night number two was the official Netflix premiere. But my old professor and now really good friend, John Moss, who you knew really
my
well.
My old boss.
Your old boss. That's right. Yeah, you were a professor at the college. So we went to the Tobin Center. But the coolest thing was it was a two-hour drive, essentially. And just telling stories with John, which one of your what would be to me one of your biggest defining moments of your life. You told that story, which we can't tell now. We're going to have to properly set it up. It's going to take a whole episode to tell that story. Yes. And here's the teaser for it. It is like John was dying laughing and we were laughing because John is also a writer. So he is super fast too. So when you're telling the story, you're just so fast.
Those car rides and the laughing that we did in those car rides was just like next level. And
it's funny how you get to an age and you don't realize how much you need that. Like, it's cool to go to the premiere. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to downplay the coolness of, you know, the premiere. But the thing that I remembered about this trip were the car rides.
Yeah.
And we'll get to night three afterwards. But just sitting, drinking some whiskey at the end of all of it with Brian, John, you and I. Like, that was equally – I mean, it's just fun. It's just cool. Like, yeah. I don't know. When you get to a certain age, you cherish those things as – I don't know, it's a concentrate, right? Like, when you and I were hanging out every single day, it was, like, diluted. Like,
yeah,
you know. But when – when I only get to see you for these 3 days, and we had so much packed in these 3 days, it's very concentrated. But it was also the perfect setting so that we had a two-hour car ride that we could tell these stories to John.
Yeah.
And the other aspect of it, because I want to move past that story because since we're not telling it.
Well, I just want to comment. I don't want to. Yeah, we're not going to. Yeah. But I just want to comment because you made this like John being quick. It's, I don't know the last time I've hung around writers. So sitting like between like John and yourself and Brian, right, who were just like firing, right? Like just sitting and listening to you guys go, or even like when we were telling stories about some of the stuff, the idiocy that, you know, that we performed when we were younger. And then just the comments or like the brilliant summarization of a situation or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just for that extra little added comedic value to the already outrageous scenario. Was just hysterical. I loved every minute of it.
So we go to the premiere. Brian and John, I mean, they met before, but it was their first time sitting and talking, which was just like you said, it was cool to see writers talk to writers. So that was cool. And then the third night was just at my house. We had, I think, 31 people ended up coming, seeing their reaction and being outside. It was such a perfect night. And it's just, it was one of those moments where you go, oh, this is what all this is for. Like, because you get stressed out working and stuff, and not many people get stressed out, and then get to celebrate their work. Like, it's cool in the entertainment business that you can do that.
Yeah.
So it was just so cool. And to not to get too emotionally stupid. I don't want to get like emotional, but it was cool that you came down. Like, I really was happy that you came down.
I was happy you asked, and we figured out a way to make that happen. It was very fun. It was very cool. I thought on multiple occasions that evening, I was like, this is great for you. Like, I'm really happy for you for this on multiple levels, right? Like being part of the actual production of the comedy special and like doing the premiere and then like having even having the your space in your backyard, right? It was something that was like important to you, like wanting to be able to have that. So it was a culmination of so many things that were exactly what I know you've been wanting and trying to have. And you were having, I was witnessing it happening. I was like, this is cool. It was a lot of fun. It was very cool.
Do you remember when I first started in this industry, I would tell people that I was a garbage man?
Yes.
Because I was kind of embarrassed that like, oh, I'm going to be in the entertainment industry. Like it, you know, there's insecurities. Like there's the imposter syndrome, which is 100% real thing. I to this day sometimes believe that I'm an imposter. And it's funny because we used to hear Tammy say that, who was, you know, producer extraordinaire.
Right.
The things that she worked on, you'd be like, no, you're so successful and stuff. You're not an imposter. She's like, no, I'm an imposter. But now like I'm to the stage in my career where I feel if I say things like, hey, we went to this Netflix premiere, like I feel like I'm bragging, but it's not. It's more of a, holy crap, I'm this kid from Commerce Township, Michigan, hanging out with my best friend at this Netflix premiere with this comedian who went to number 2 on Netflix. Like that to me is just cool, and it's just a cool experience. It's not like I'm trying to brag about it. It's more of like, I'm just proud.
Yeah.
I don't know. You dissect that. I don't know what to say about it.
I was going
to
say we need to have a therapist on here to really break that down. I've always it used to frustrate the crap out of me when you would go down that path of saying like, oh, I'm just a garbage man. Like anytime you would have a conversation with somebody, that we grew up with or that knew you, you know, ahead of time or whatever, prior, I guess, in life, you would always throw that out there. And I would always be there because you'd be up visiting and we'd be hanging out together with the friends, whatever. And it would annoy the crap out of me. It's just like, I don't know. You were very self-conscious about that fact that you weren't comfortable with it. You wouldn't, whatever. So there have been a lot of times where I've had to be the voice of trying to help people understand what you were doing or your successes because you never wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
Now I can't shut you up.
We didn't come from a town that was like, oh, go chase your dreams.
No, I agree with you, but we didn't come from a time that was go chase your dreams. Is my vibe on that.
You're right, because YouTube and TikTok and that stuff didn't exist. So
no.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think that if we would have had that, maybe it would have been easier. Maybe I would have had a different mentality.
I never had any conversations with like an entrepreneur, right? Or somebody that had really, you know, pursued like that whole rich dad, poor dad conversation, right? About entrepreneurship versus, you know, working for the man, it just didn't exist for me anywhere that I really knew. And maybe that's just short-sighted or whatever, or you know, taking an assessment on what I'm good at or what seems to work, what makes sense or whatever. I don't know.
I would love to explore that further, but I don't want to bore the audience.
Sure.
The 50,000 people who've watched this, I don't want to. I know. And the other aspect about the 50,000 is total. It's not per episode. So it means Steve has like 26,000 views, and then it drops off significantly when it's just you and I.
Yeah, of course. So that the bottom end. But you can transition that into the fact that you said that Caden wants to be on the podcast.
Yeah, so I asked Caden. Caden's my oldest. I ask him, well, first of all, he's dying to come on the podcast. Because I'm like, well, he's 14, close to being 15. So I start asking him, like, what do you think you want to be? He's like, oh, I want to be a YouTuber. And I'm like, well, that's not a thing. He's like, yeah, yeah, people can make a living. I was like, no. People are on YouTube can make a living. You can make a living, but you can't become a YouTuber because what happens if YouTube goes away? What you want to do is be a content creator so that the platform doesn't matter. And he doesn't see the distinction yet. So where I tell him is like, look, when I was first in this industry, you could only sell your TV shows to a certain amount of people. So don't look at the platform. Look at what you want to do. Does that make sense? Am I saying that clear enough?
No,
red
I get it.
Leather, yellow leather.
I totally get your point. I don't disagree with what you said. However, do you really think that there's a chance that YouTube would go away in our lifetime?
I don't think it'll go away, but did you think TikTok could go away? Like we're to the point now where like it is one of the most valuable companies out there, especially in terms of if you use information as currency, entertainment value, time suck, all these things. The fact that they're talking about banning TikTok, first of all, I can't even fathom they're gonna ban this. But what happens if they do? So then you have to make sure that people understand you're not just a TikToker, that you are a content creator on other platforms. Did you think that Facebook would become the old person's?
Right.
So do I think that YouTube's going away? No, but who knows what's next? It's not even that. It's more of the mentality of do not put yourself to the platform. Put yourself to your ideas.
I'm all that's great advice. I agree with all of that. However, saying I'm a YouTuber is the sexy aspect to it, right? So that's what the kids want to do because that's what the kids are going and watching, you know, and seeing the other people that they're looking up to, you know what I mean? Whatever. Yeah. So it's a label. It's the sexy label for a content creator because that's what's relevant right now.
No, I understand what you're saying there, but think about it. You wouldn't say I'm a Netflixer. Right. You'd say I write content that's on Netflix or whatever. The distinction is what are you doing on YouTube? Because if you're a YouTuber, you could be sports, you could be video games, you could be a musician. Yeah. So what are you doing?
Right.
So like if you're a YouTuber, like you should say like I do this on YouTube.
Okay.
Right.
Sure.
But I think it's an important distinction to make because most people when they like. When you're saying career, okay, well, how do you become a YouTuber? I mean, you and I are trying to figure that out right now. Smash the like button.
Oh, the irony of this conversation.
Wait, should I be saying smash the like button or is it smash subscribe?
Why do we care? Let's come up with a new one right now.
Slap that subscribe.
Did we just get canceled?
I don't know if we keep this in. I think we do. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. You got anything else? All right. What I want to get to is you are bringing a defining moment to the podcast.
I have one.
So you had to weed through all this bullshit to get to our defining moment.
We'll edit a lot out. So it has to do with it's relevant because I was just spent the week in New York for work and being there.
How was it, by the way?
It was fine. It was
no, but like New York as a town. Like I took Caden last year, and it's different, man. It really is.
I think post COVID, all the major cities are very different. I've been to many for work, and it's not good times. The story that my brain revisited that I hadn't thought of in a very long time. Was the very first time I went to New York. So I was 24 years old, down at school at Full Sail, and on spring break, I didn't have anywhere to go. And my friend Warren was going up to New York because he had family up in New York. And So he's like, you should just come up to New York. And I was like, well, I've got a sister up there. Like maybe I could figure that out. And that was Deanne. And maybe I could figure that out and whatever. So I did. It was the first time I've ever flown. So I didn't fly until I was 24 years old. Everything else had been driving all over, to that point. And my very first day, literally off the plane, right? So plane lands, I take a cab from there to my sister's apartment where she wasn't there yet. And so I just waited outside, and then she showed up and we walked straight across the street to go get some lunch. Okay. And the place had just opened, and we go and sit down. We're literally the only ones in the entire space, because they had just opened. And we were in like this kind of like a Three Seasons, like open, you know, balcony area. It was all indoors, but it was covered. It was all in glass or whatever.
You say and Three Seasons?
Yeah, I guess Four Seasons. Is that one? I don't know.
Are you talking the hotel?
No, this was at the restaurant, right? It was like a patio. It was like a glass covered patio all the way around. Okay. So my sister and I sit down to eat, and a short while after, somebody comes in off the, you know, through the door and comes in and goes and sits down in the chair directly behind D. And my brain was like, something's wrong. Something's off. And I like all of these seats and all of this stuff, like in the area. And it's my first time in New York, so I'm naturally cautious a little bit as is. And now, like, especially being there for the first time, I'm like, something feels off. This doesn't feel right. And so Dee said, well, I need to use the bathroom. I was like, cool. And she stood up. And I was like, hey, I'm going to switch seats with you. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to switch seats. So we switched seats. So I sat just trying to put myself between, you know, maybe remove her from harm a little bit, depending on what's going to happen. I don't really know. And so after a little while, the guy got up and the waitress even came over and said, like, hey, dude, can I get you something? He's like, no, I'll just have a water. I'm double parked. And again, my brain's like, my spidey sense is just going, I'm like, something's wrong. Something's off. I don't know what this is. I don't know what's going on. But the guy eventually gets up and walks out and leaves, like, while we're still sitting there, while we're still eating. And then we finish up and we're done. And we go to leave. And D goes, where's my purse? And I go, oh, I don't know. And she's like, did I leave it at the gym? She had just come from the gym, direct from the gym. She said, did I leave it at the gym? She goes, I don't think I did. I thought I brought it. And I was like, well, you want me to just hang here for a bit and you can go check? She's like, yeah. She goes down there, not there, right? Comes back and she goes, I'm next to positive. I brought my purse here. And I was like, where do you think you put it? She goes, I hung it on the back of the chair right here. And I was like, D, like, that's what that guy was doing. He never faced us, but he probably just put his hand behind his, you know, and they do the cut, the strap, and they have it in their hand, and then they just, you know, and then walk out with it, right? And she's like, ugh. And I was like, oh my God, I'm literally in the city for minutes, and my sister's purse just gets stolen, right? So she calls the police. This is where it starts to get good. So she calls the police to do the report, and da-da-da-da, whole thing. The police is like, is your ID in your purse? Yes. Is your ID have your current address? Yes. Does your purse have your keys in them? Yes. Okay. So if when you go back to, and it's just across the street, by the way, and he's roughly, and he's like, so when you get back to your apartment, if anything seems off or wrong or weird or bad, then call us and we'll get you a police escort to go into your apartment. And we're like, oh, got it. Okay. So we go across the street. She's five floors up, all stairs, right? And we get all the way up there, and she goes, she doesn't have her keys now, so, but she goes to check the door, and it's unlocked. And she stops right in the dead, and she goes, she like closes the door very quietly or whatever, and she goes, we never leave our door unlocked. She goes, it's a rule that we have. She's there with other women living in that apartment, and it's New York and whatever. She goes, that's our rule. We never leave the door unlocked. And I go, okay, let's go downstairs. Da, da, da. So I go down and I go out to the road. She couldn't get like very good cell service in the inside there. She goes, I go out to the road, go call the police. I'm going to wait right here. I'm going to watch and see if a man comes out of the apartment and he starts coming down. I'm just going to go over the mailboxes and pretend like I'm getting some mail. And when he goes by, I'm just going to take him out. I'm young. I'm, you know, whatever. I'm like, but I'm not
and
cool.
For those 50,000 people who've listened before, you were a wrestler, so you know how to handle yourself.
Sure. Sure. Maybe. I don't know. Whatever. But I just, I figure surprise
it's not
attack.
Like me.
I could take him out.
Sure, no, but it's not like me who would get my ass pummeled.
So
by any 6-year-old walking down the street.
So she calls, the police show up. Nobody comes down, right? During that time, police show up. They go up and they go in first, right? Well, it turns out her roommate was there and got woken up, who took a nap with guns pointed in her face.
So
because the police officers didn't know if this was a person that whatever, you know, that right. whole thing. So she got woken up and then was like, what is going on? You know, whatever. It all got sorted out. Like, no, that's my roommate. The roommate's like, oh my God, I just had groceries. I came in. I accidentally left it unlocked. We never do, but I did. So she accidentally left it unlocked. Right. So all that settled. And then 1 year later ish. She gets a call from the New Jersey police department in New Jersey.
Did they change the locks and everything?
Yes. So they, okay. yes, okay. they, yes, yeah, they went through.
That would yes. be terrifying to me.
Absolutely. No question. Yep. Went, changed the locks. But this was the real kicker to the whole scenario is, a year ish later, she gets a call from a police department in New Jersey and they're like, we found your purse. We would like you to come pick it up, but we need to talk to you. You know, we need to, okay, it's felt weird, whatever. But she went down to the police department to check it out, get it. And they give it to her and they say, we raided this facility that had a lot of illegal activity that was going on in it. And we need to let you know that within all the things that were there, we found at least one, I don't know if there were more, life insurance policy that was taken out in your name inside this facility. So I don't know. I see where your brain's going with that. So what does that mean? Does that mean they were just taking these out in hopes that somebody was just going to die statistically and they were going to be able to get a payout for that? Or is that where, well, like,
do
literally...
Do you know what kind of life insurance it was?
I don't know. It was because
you could borrow against the policy.
Maybe. So it was a $100,000 policy that was taken out in her name.
God, that's scary.
But it was a life. It was a life insurance. Right. Life insurance policy. So that was my very first 5 hours in the Big Apple when I was 24 years old. So the reason this was a defining moment for me is after I looked back on that in my head, I went, when I have that sixth sense, I have that feeling, I know something's wrong, I have to act on it. Do not let something play out and go, I don't know what it is, but I don't know whatever the whole thing. Do something to remove yourself from it, act on it, do something different. Like, I knew it was wrong and bad, and we should have just said, let's go grab a table over there. I knew that guy being there was a problem, and it's just said, we should have just moved. But there's some of those, like, Midwestern, like, I don't want to put people out. I don't want to, you know, whatever, like, mentalities where the whole thing, like, I don't want to create issues or problems. My first time in the city and I don't want to seem like I'm being overly, like, whatever. Nope. Bury all that. Put it all aside. Like, so I, to that, to, for ever since that day, I have held with me that if I have that sixth sense, that I think something's wrong, something's off, then I'm probably right and do something. And what's the worst case scenario? Act on it, do something different so that something bad doesn't happen. And then maybe it was nothing, but who cares? You're having that for a reason. And I think you need to listen to that. And I've held on to that ever since that day. And I've had multiple instances in my life where I knew something was off and I acted on it and I was right.
As you're telling that, which I would assume most people do, they start thinking, like, what are those moments that have happened to me? And we all have those. And
yeah,
because you kick yourself afterwards of going, but I knew it. You
right.
know? And you're right. 100%. That kind of, it's funny because we now have the word Karen, you know, if you become a Karen.
Yes.
But it's like, you don't want to be that person.
Right. Correct.
And it also, so that, you know, it leads to the other thing too of, like, do you know when online now people get, like, you know, they film Karens and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like that stuff spirals out of control so fast. It starts that, like, because I've seen people, like, where like you just hate the Karen, right? And you're, but I've seen people be like, yeah, film me. Go ahead and film me. You know, put it on YouTube and stuff. That would have been me. Like, I would like you get so caught up in the moment. Maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you didn't. But there's no right. just I'm sorry anymore. It's like, yeah, no. I screwed it up. Whatever.
Yeah.
It turns into this thing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing now. So, like. So put yourself back into where you were there. If people were filming things and you got up,
right.
you're for sure
right.
going to get labeled that.
Yeah.
You kind of just have to go, I don't care how I'm perceived. So what happened to the life insurance policy? Did they cancel it? clearly.
Yeah. Yes, and then she now knew that she had to, shut off all her Social Security, whatever
which
that
is. Which is a mess.
Of course it is. Of course. It was a disaster.
All because you weren't man enough just to get up.
I even like partially reacted. I knew something was wrong. I'm going to put myself in between harm's way, right? If this is something weird, I wasn't thinking about the purse.
But it's also weird too that she lived in New York for a while at that point.
Yeah.
So how many times did she put her purse on the back of a? That seems like problem number one.
Yeah, shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. I get it. Yeah, and to that point, now,
do you see what I just did in the last two things? I victim blamed both times. Like, you shouldn't be doing this. It's not that people should be stealing. It's you're the problem. Yeah, come on.
Do better.
I do want to say, like, how honest do we be moving forward? Now that we know some of our old friends are listening to this. Right. How honest can we actually be? And how honest do you intend to be?
I think mentally I want to keep things filtered. Like we talked about even like some of the stories that are coming up, like I have to create redacted versions in my head of when we tell some of these things, because at this point, it doesn't feel worth it. Like, I don't want to put anybody in a weird position. You know, I know what you mean. You know, we've already run into some things that like we talked about, or whatever. And we're like, oh no, we can't include that, you know, for various reasons or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think there's a way, to try to be fun and funny, you know, and not put others in compromising scenarios.
I'm not
that they
saying
might
saying that it's compromising, but to really honestly, if we're going to do this, and this is our kind of once in a lifetime opportunity for you and I to put our stories on wax, as they say.
Yeah.
In 15 years from now, when nothing happens, we're not canceled and we still have our friends and stuff like that. Are we going to go, oh, we should have, just so our kids can hear it or other people or really give the full story? Are we going to be remiss that we didn't actually tell the story? Because where I go is, and I'm going to put an S on there so that it sounds like there's multiple defining moments in this, but girlfriends, right? Yeah. Like to me, the biggest defining moment in my life happened to be a relationship gone awry and kicked off a whole sequence of events that led to you and I doing this podcast today.
Yeah.
So given that, and we'll talk, even if we have to talk around it, like we'll come to some conclusion of if we're going to say it, but how honest can we be on that situation?
I think stories like that can be told without naming names. I think people.
But do you think it's the name that's the problem? Because if it's the name that's the problem, why wouldn't we? Well, I think on certain situations, sure. But why wouldn't I just go and get permission to say, hey, would you mind if I talk about certain aspects? I would never put anyone down. I'm old enough in my life, A, to know that that's not even who I am anymore.
Right.
B,
other than
that's
me.
Probably how. Well, you're an idiot. But there's also a thing of like, you know, I would show you first before putting it out to the world. And if you don't feel comfortable, we don't show it, you know?
I think we'd be honest. I think we tell stories. I think it's important. Carrie has said this to me on multiple occasions. Like, I think authenticity is key to the whole scenario. And you and I have, since day one, have struggled with this. Like, how authentic can we be with how we are? And we're idiots when we're together and we're completely mostly inappropriate or whatever. Like, just not our dynamic is not the dynamic we typically have and see around other people, right? John got a view of that. And, you know, when, you know,
I think he likes us more because
in the car rides. I don't disagree with you. I think that's true. I think we figure out a way to be authentic and while trying to protect people, and then we see how it goes.
Yeah, because when you tell your story about how you became a convicted felon, I want to make sure that we're names. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Are we done?